Oh, good morning. 2 weeks ago at this time, we were speaking to Joe DeGeneva in the morning, the former U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia and a legal analyst. And then it was later that day that Jay Sekulow and the president's team announced that he and his wife would be being hired to join their legal team. Since then, it's been 2 weeks. A lot has happened, and that's not happening due to what apparently a conflict of interest. We'll find out all of it now with Joe DeGeneva, who joins us yet again here on Mornings on the Mall. Joe, good morning. Happy Easter, sir.
And happy Easter to you all.
Really nice to have you back. So tell us, what did happen? What transpired?
Well, Victoria and I were out for our thrice yearly trips to Palm Springs, California, to visit some dear friends. And I was sitting around reading a newspaper, and the phone rang, and that wonderful voice from the White House operator said, "Are you available to take a call from the President of the United States?" To which I replied, "Of course." And I spoke with the president for a considerable period of time. We discussed ongoing matters and asked if we would meet when we got back to Washington, and we did that. And we went to the White House and met for an hour and a half with the president and all of his lawyers. Victoria and I did, and found the president to be charming, engaging, wickedly smart, incisive questioner, thoroughly knowledgeable about the landscape of legal and factual issues, extremely impressive. And I must say, I voted for the president. I've always liked him. I left the White House not only liking him, but admiring him immensely and his strength and courage. And I left the White House delighted to have met him, number one. Victoria and I were just delighted. He gave us a personal tour of the residence. It was a thrill and very enjoyable, and again, charming beyond belief and just wickedly smart.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that meeting took place, was that Thursday of last week or the prior?
It could have been. I don't remember right now.
Oh, okay.
I think it was.
Okay. And then so then after that happens, there was the announcement that you would not be a part of the legal team regarding the Mueller special counsel. Is that right?
Well, what happened was the president tweeted out that there were some conflicts. Jay Sekulow then issued a statement for the president saying that there were some conflicts that had arisen, but that we were going to continue to work with the president in a number of capacities. And we issued our own statement saying we were honored by the opportunity to have visited with him and also to have advised him,
right,
and that we look forward to working with him. And we have spoken with the president a number of times since then.
Since then. Okay. So could you in any way characterize the legal conflicts, or is that attorney-client privilege?
Well, I can tell you that we represented three people in the Mueller investigation, and while they were not technical conflicts, in other words, they would not have prevented us from doing what we were asked to do, there was a perception that some people thought it looked bad ethically, which it wasn't. It was perfectly legitimate to represent a lot of these people. And to also represent the president, but we said, look, we'll help in any way we can, and here we are. But it was an appearance thing. It was the politics of it, and perfectly understandable concern on their part.
Yes, and Jay Sekulow said in his statement that you and your wife may be working with the president in other legal matters. You said you've spoken with the president since. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to ask you to speak up. It's really tough hearing.
Oh, sure.
You.
Just that Jay Sekulow said in his statement that you and your wife would be working with the president on other legal matters.
That's correct.
Can you give us a sense of what those matters might be?
That is confidential, and
okay.
I cannot.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been a wild 2 weeks for you.
It's been wonderful, and I must say extremely fascinating, and who knows? You know what? There's more to be done here. Look forward to going over there again.
Joe, I have a technical question for you. It comes from a piece on Dan Abrams' website, which is Law and Crime, written by a lawyer there named Robert Barnes. And he goes into Jeff Sessions recusing himself, and he said that Sessions only recused himself from any existing or future investigations of any matters related in any way to the campaign for campaigns for President of the United States. So it doesn't authorize Sessions to recuse himself for anything beyond that. Would Sessions then be within his legal rights to call Manafort off? I mean, call Mueller off of, for instance, Manafort, what he's going after Manafort for, because Paul Manafort brought a motion to dismiss.
Well, let me just say this about the origins of this special counsel, because this is what this is all about. What Barnes is writing about goes to the core of what the Deputy Attorney General did, Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein's appointment of Robert Mueller was illegal. Under the regulations and law that established the appointment of special counsel, there was no underlying crime that was identified by Rosenstein when he appointed Mueller. An underlying crime is required for the appointment of a special counsel. You don't appoint a special counsel to rummage. You don't appoint a special counsel to do intelligence investigations, which is what he did. He names no crime in the appointment papers. And then, subsequently, Rosenstein has allowed Mueller to expand his investigation with no limitations and no restrictions. What you have seen happen is a disgrace. What Rosenstein did is a disgrace. Let me underscore that. Look what Jeff Sessions did with the FISA unmasking, illegal leaking part of this nonsense. He, Sessions, appointed a sitting U.S. attorney to study the matter, and then later down the road, if it's required, to appoint a special counsel. Ask yourself this question. Why didn't Rod Rosenstein do that? Why didn't he find a sitting U.S. attorney to investigate a non-crime? Plenty of people that could have investigated that without appointing a special counsel. Rod Rosenstein did it for one reason. He didn't want to make tough political legal decisions involving a sensitive case involving the president. And so as a result of what Rosenstein did, a year and some months of a brand new president's presidency has been wasted, destroyed, hampered, interfered with by his cowardice. Rosenstein is a disgrace. And this situation should have never existed, and Barnes is absolutely correct. Sessions could intervene right now and tell Mueller to cut it off, stop it, you're not allowed to go this, there, and the other way, because he's not recused from running the department. And because the Manafort case has nothing to do with the campaign, which he was recused from. It has to do with legal actions or illegal actions taken years, years before Manafort ever was affiliated with the Trump campaign. This is the monster that Dr. Frankenstein Rosenstein has created, a monster.
But you know, if Jeff Sessions did that, what would be the next accusation?
Well,
that,
the bottom line is he's not going to do
justice,
it.
You know
he's
what
not
I mean?
Going to do it. You don't even have to go any further. Of course he's not going to do it. It's too late.
Right.
Once you let this cat out of the bag, once you appoint a special counsel, you're stuck with it. And I just have to tell you, this is so angering, so infuriating that a person like Rosenstein, who is a careerist, can basically destroy a presidency in its infancy by acting so cowardly and stupidly.
Well, since the last time we talked to you, a lot has transpired, so we're going to hold on to you and chat a little bit more with Joe DeGeneva in just a moment. 7:15 now. Jeff Sessions has appointed a U.S. attorney, John Hubbard, to look into all sorts of potential abuses of power at the FBI, the Department of Justice, and he's under pressure to appoint a second special counsel from three powerful Republican chairmen, Chuck Grassley, Bob Goodlatte, Trey Gowdy. Jeff Sessions explaining right now that, well, first we're going to have this U.S. attorney look into this, and we have a former U.S. attorney with us, Joe DeGeneva. Joe, what did you think of Jeff Sessions' appointment of John Hubbard?
I think it's a good idea. It's not a perfect situation, but this entire thing is imperfect. I don't think there's any question that the FISA stuff clearly cries out for a federal grand jury. It's not just an investigation. You got to have a grand jury. You have to bring people in who are responsible for the administration of the intelligence community and the FISA application process. That would be Brennan, Clapper, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, all of the people at Maine Justice. That would be Lynch, Yates, John Carlin, all of the people, Comey, McCabe. They all have to be put into a grand jury. As Comey begins his book tour, I call it the Dirty Cop book tour. It'll be one of the most interesting in history. I'm sure that Mr. Horowitz, the IG, will be watching every word he says and hold up the issuance of his report on Mr. Comey and the people at the FBI until James has finished his tour. But I think Huber was a good idea, and that's exactly what should have happened in the case of the campaign violation. Should have appointed a U.S. attorney and waited to see if there was a crime, and which, of course, there hasn't been. Not one crime associated with the campaign has been established.
Right, but I sense a lot of frustration from conservatives about this because it feels like there's a total imbalance, that Bob Mueller is on a free-for-all against Republicans,
yes.
And meanwhile...
Well, he is, and there's, I can understand completely their feelings, because here... This is where we are when all is said and done.
Yeah.
In the Mueller case, There is no basis for a special counsel because no crime was committed. And yet, we have a special counsel. In the case of the FISA, it is quite abundantly clear that many crimes were committed and we have no special counsel. That type of irony tends to make people politically angry, and they have every right in the world to feel that way. But, you know, this is where we are. You know, Jeff Sessions is doing the best he can. And for his deputy, he has someone who should never have been appointed deputy attorney general. So that's where we are.
Now, yesterday, Daryl Issa was talking about this whole appointment and said that he believes that ultimately it's going to lead to a special investigator. But he also said that Huber can inform the attorney general about anything that he would need a subpoena for or be prosecuted for. So then he would be able to subpoena these people. But that's Rod Rosenstein. So he would have to go to Rod Rosenstein if he wanted to get these subpoenas, right?
No.
Okay.
The attorney general is the one that named him. Rod Rosenstein didn't name him.
Okay.
Huber is named by Sessions. He can go to Sessions. Now, will Sessions talk to Rosenstein about it? I assume he will. But this is the problem. If I sound apoplectic about Rosenstein, it's because I am. But once you get past this, Jeff is now in charge of this. He's the one who appointed Huber. So he can talk to him. And if I were Huber, I'd talk to him. I wouldn't talk to anybody else.
Also, Jeff Sessions, the other news is that he's gotten Christopher Wray to double the number of agents on documents that are responsive to Congress. It looks like Sessions is once again trying to push the FBI to be responsible here.
Well, it's a little late. I must say, I thought Chris Wray was on a milk carton there for a while.
Yeah.
After Parkland shooting and other things, he sends out an acting deputy director to explain the FBI's massive failings in the Parkland shooting case, where they missed two opportunities to deal with this killer. And then Chris Wray just disappears and then shows up, and then finally Sessions gets some cojones, which he has. Believe me, Jeff Sessions is a great guy. When he's allowed to do his job, he can do a fabulous job. I've known him for over 30 years. We were U.S. attorneys together. Jeff is a great guy. And he picked up the phone and said to Chris Wray, get off the milk carton and do your job. Double the number of people doing the Freedom of Information Act request. Can you imagine the Department of Justice and the FBI being threatened with contempt for refusing to turn over documents that Congress has a constitutional right to see and oversight? What a disgrace. And Chris Wray thought he was going to get away with it. This guy in his Joseph A. Banks suit, perfectly coiffed, sitting there acting like a fool, answering no questions except with nostrums. I mean, this guy is a joke.
Well,
Wray is a joke.
Well, you get three for one when you go to Joseph A. Bank. It's hard to blame him. But let me ask you, Joe, it feels like the Christopher Wray statement, as soon as I saw a statement came out from Wray, this came out right after your criticisms of him were so well publicized. You made those remarks to us on 2 weeks ago, Monday, on Mornings on the Mall. The press picked up everything that you said here on this program, and then all of a sudden we're getting statements from Christopher Wray.
Christopher Wray is a factotum. He's just like Rosenstein. They're two peas in a pod. They're worried about the only thing these guys ever think about is their next job. Rosenstein wants to be a judge. I hope he never gets it. Christopher Wray is waiting for the next Bush-like appointment to some job where he sits there, you know, looking like a million bucks with his hair comb, doing nothing. The guy is gutless. He is the kind of person who never should have been in charge of the FBI. The head of the FBI right now, whom we recommended, is Ray Kelly, former police commissioner in New York. You know, you don't need this guy from a big Georgia law firm running the FBI. He's a nothing burger. He doesn't know anything. And just look at his performance since he has been FBI director. He has hidden almost the entire time. This is not leadership. This is quivering. This is sitting in a corner worrying about being criticized. The guy cannot handle the light of day.
Well, Joe, it has been so wonderful having you back. And we still had a whole bunch of things we wanted to talk to you about. So we have a backup of things to talk to Joe about. But thank you so much for joining us again. Welcome back, and a happy Easter to you.
Great to talk to you guys. Happy Easter.
7:23 on WMAL.